only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 5. And reading from verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read these words concerning the overcomer. And the question going forth, who is it that is an overcomer, that can overcome the world and the things of the world? And the answer is that it is he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Father, we thank you for these words and we thank you for this promise, knowing that this promise is for us. And so, Lord, as part of our inheritance, being part of your word. And so, Lord, we ask you that we might also, in the bodies of this death, might manifest that overcoming. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, he that believeth, and that word he is that little O with the little accent mark over it. Now, the scripture may seem to you that possibly old school, and we're all well beyond, you know, we're beyond teaching on overcoming. Of course, we've got the doctrine, we know, and therefore we don't need this teaching. But let me just tell you something. It seems like people need more than ever to learn exactly what it means to overcome. Not only how to overcome, but what we must overcome. Therefore, to begin this morning, I would like to read a very hard statement that Brother Brown makes concerning overcoming, because we can get dowdy and too much into the thinking of just, you know, if we just live a good life, we'll be okay. But when you hear what Brother Brown has to tell us, we won't be okay if you just live a good life. I think in this day and age that we have a tendency to look for the easy way out too often. And too many times, that easy way out is to follow blindly our leaders instead of taking a stand for what is called righteousness or right wiseness. It seems today we don't seem to have the live or die commitment that we used to live by. Everywhere today we see how the churches have let down the bars, and as a result the sheep have gotten out and the goats have come in. So this morning I would like to examine some statements from Brother Branham that are hard cutting concerning our overcoming. And we need to reflect upon these, the things that he said concerning our situation, to see how we are measuring up. As Brother Hoffman said last week, and I taught many times in the garden of your mind, you must overcome these five inner senses, because that is what Satan will use to deny your faith. And that is what God will use to lead you into deeper faith and relationship with him. So the same inner senses will be used by God and are used by the devil. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Now, Brother Branham listed the conscience as one of the five inner senses of the Spirit that man uses to make contact with his soul, and is used by his soul to bring the body into subjection to the soul. Number one of the five is imagination. Number two is conscience. Number three is memory. Number four is reasoning. And number five is affection. Brother Don brought out how these were the battle, the greatest battles ever fought. This is where the real warfare goes on. It's not in the eyes and the ears and the mouth. Those are just inlets so that you can make contact with this world. But it's what takes place in there, because those are filters. And if those filters are clogged, you're going to have some trouble. Now, in these five senses, there's only one of them that actually controls the soul. And that is conscience. Imagination allows the soul to conceptualize, and reason allows it to weigh out and to discern. But the conscience is that seat of control that actually causes the soul to either accept or reject the Word of God, and therefore bring forth righteousness to the individual. Memory, imagination, and reasoning are all passive, and affection is the outlet that brings the spirit into an active state. But the thing that ties the passive together with the active is the conscience, because it is a seat or control. No action can take place until the conscience has filtered the situation and gives forth its approval. Therefore, the conscience is the most important of our inner five senses. Now, this coming Wednesday evening, we're going to look into those five senses. But for today, I want to stay on our target with our thoughts on overcoming. Because as I see it in this hour, we have two major battles to overcome. The influence of the world, and if you're truly born again, a real Christian, that's not a battle. It's not a battle. You've made a pact with your eyes. You won't lust after women. You've got a life that's worthy of the gospel. You've got a life that's committed to Jesus Christ. But there's another area I see that needs overcoming, and something that we don't normally look at, but this is the hour where we have two major battles to overcome. The influence of the world and the influence of man. Amen. And actually, these can be both thought to be the same thing. Because if the man is of the world, and influences of the world is the same thing. Because whether the man is religious or not, if he is not born again, his distraction and his failure will be that he will be overcome by the things of this world. And let me tell you something. That includes being overcome by the influences of man, who will rise up not because of a calling, but by virtue of being more of a business-savvy person or more of an outspoken person. And these men who rise up and take over the pulpits will in the end be the real test for the overcomer. Because as Brother Vail said in one of his last sermons, he said, it's not the true fivefold minister who is your problem. It's these elders who've taken over little groups. That's your real problem. Now, from his sermon, Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Branham said, notice we cannot, we must not listen to any other man's word. We don't care how smart, how educated. The Bible in Proverbs says we must cast down reasoning. See? Now, here in this second realm, the first realm, you have senses of see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's in your outer body. On the inner body, which is the spirit, is reasoning and thought and so forth. But we must cast all of that down. We can't reason. Say, now wait, if God is a good God, and we're told so much today that He is a good God. And if He is a good God, then if I be sincere, though I can't see that in the Bible being right, though I be sincere, I'll be saved, you'll be lost. What he says right here. You will be lost. If I go to church and just do the things that I believe it's right and try to hold up for what I think is right, you're still lost. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. See, you won't be saved, you'll be lost. See, it must be that inside control man. So we're dealing with a quality of absoluteness in salvation that we seldom hear about any longer. The minds of the church have drifted so far off to sleep that the church is no longer emphasizing the sovereign power of God and the finality of His judgment. The churches have become so lukewarm that God has only one solution, and that is to spew them out of His mouth. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 21, we read, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, but so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest that thou art rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Therefore I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as, which means in the same way or the same manner, as I am overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. So we're looking at the admonition to overcome that Jesus gives to the church. He tells us we are living in a time when the people are deluded. They think that they are rich and increased with goods, but they have, and that they have it all. And don't realize how despised by God they really are, to the point that he wishes to spew them out of his mouth. And so we're admonished that we must overcome this Laodicean condition if we are to reign with him. And that condition is not just things, rich and increased with things and have need of nothing. It's also peoples, nations, multitudes, tongues. I mean, it's the whole shebang. Well, we've got a big church. Therefore, we are right. Brother Branham said, I would rather preach to the four posts of the church and stay true to God than compromise for the sake of having a big group of people. Sure. So what exactly does it mean to overcome? What is it, and why are we challenged to do it? Well, that's a good question. This word overcome is used in the Scripture 25 times alone in the New Testament. And it means to prevail and be victorious. It speaks of the Christian who is able to hold fast to their faith through testing and persecution for that faith. And things don't persecute you. People do. And against the power of their foes, even to the point of death. We are promised that the believer will be able to overcome the world and the things of the world, as we saw in our text from 1 John 5 and verse 5. But before we had to read 1 John 5 and verse 5, there's a verse right before that called verse 4. And it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What's faith? It's revelation. Therefore, it's revelation that will overcome everything. The lust of the flesh, it'll overcome it. The pride of man, it'll overcome it. You see? Then the next verse says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, our overcoming has to do entirely on our ability to know our relationship with the Father and his Son. Our overcoming is due to the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not God the Son. As we see in 1 John 5 and 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And understanding that relationship between Father and Son is what helps you overcome. Right. Not just understanding there's one God and he had a Son. That's not it. It's understanding that relationship between the Father and Son that helps you to overcome. Because you step into that pattern, you step into that relationship. You understand? So just having the doctrine right isn't far enough. It's understanding the relationship of the doctrine. It's not just doctrine and principles. It's relationship. Amen. You see? Therefore, our overcoming has to do entirely on our ability to know our relationship with the Father and His Son. Our overcoming is due to the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not God the Son. And it's our ability as a son to enter into that same relationship as Jesus had with his Father. Now, since the Scripture tells us that we are able to overcome by revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then there must be power in this revelation for us. Because, listen, the Scripture, a lot of people say, well, I believe that there's one God. That's fine. And the devil does too, and he trembles. There's no overcoming in that. The Muslims believe there's one God. You think they're right? The Jesus only believe there's one God. And look at what kind of a spirit they've got. It It's not just knowing there's one God and He had a Son, but what was this relationship between Father and Son? Because that's what I want. I want that relationship for me. And when I focus on Him and His overcoming by the... Look, how did He overcome? He submitted to the will of God. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. For this purpose have I come into this world. Not for my purpose. For His purpose have I come into the world. And that, when you enter into that relationship, when you enter into that revelation, then it's not about you any longer. You're dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. Or in Christ with God. And what we can see by Brother Bram's quote is that our overcoming is not in the outer five senses, but in the five inner senses. That is where we must overcome, and we're just lost, no matter how sincere we may be. From his sermon, Revelation of Jesus Christ, from the Church Age book, Brother Bram said, I admit that it takes a revelation from the Holy Ghost to see the truth about the Godhead these days, when we're in the midst of a perverting of so much Scripture, but the prevailing overcoming church is built on revelation, so we can expect God to reveal His truth to us. And God did. It's not just an intellectual understanding. There's one God, He had a Son. It's a revelation. And revelation is known as the stimulation of revelation. In other words, revelation must stimulate, which means bring to life. Paul said, if the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that raised Him from the dead, if it dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. It'll change you. Give you a new focus in life. In fact, we are also promised that the power of this revelation is that there is a life that is much greater than our life that comes forth from this revelation, because Jesus Himself said, my words are spirit and they are life. Therefore, when we receive the life that is in the Word, we receive the power that comes forth from the life to overcome. That is why I am so glad to see that the brethren are really, truly grasping the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because when I get emails, like several I've received this week from brothers overseas, it shows me that they're turning the corner with me in our relationship to Christ. Because if you do not first have the right teaching, you can never express the right thing. In Philippians, Paul said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And didn't Paul also say, when I was a child, I acted as a child, I spoke as a child because I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And if you have the same mind, you'll do the same things. You'll live the same life. In fact, in the NIV, it says, let the attitude that was in Jesus Christ be in you. Now, how many of us in here need to change our attitudes? I'll tell you why you've got a bad attitude, is because you don't have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. From his sermon, we would see Jesus, Brother Bram said, the things that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. See, we'll do the same works, think the same thoughts, live the same type of life. If the Spirit of God is in you, it makes you live like Christ, Christ-like. Why were they called Christians? Because they were Christ-like. But this result can be possible only through true teaching, as I mentioned in the book, He That Believeth. Not only do we see in the life of Irenaeus the works of Christ, but Brother Branham commented that the people he taught, as a people who seem to have that supernatural manifestation of the works of Christ daily due to his profound teaching. So we see the importance of teaching the Scripture and then expecting to see results from what we teach. And let me just say this, the things that you talk about in your home, that's what you're going to have fed back to you. You focus on Christ and you're going to begin to see Christ in the home. You focus on the things of this world and you're going to have nothing but contention all the time. And that is where our overcoming comes from, the Word of God only. How did Jesus overcome Satan when he was tested? By the Word, by the Word, by the Word. Therefore, in reviewing the quotes, Brother Bram's quote that we read from the beginning and this morning, it is not enough to live a good life, it is not enough to have a right heart, and it is not enough to be sincere. We need to be right. Because righteousness is doing what is right. He that is righteous doeth what is right. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I, but Christ is living in me. And the life I am now living in this flesh, I am living by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And what was that revelation of Jesus Christ? It was, Father, I would that you would take this cup from me, but nevertheless, it's not what I will. It's what you will. For this purpose have I come into this world. To do that which you sent me to do. To complete those things which you sent me to complete. And the Apostle John said in 1 John 4 and 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Overcome the things of the world, overcome them, he said. You see, we're boiling down to one thing in this late day. There's two things that are going to get you. It's either the things of this world, and that's if you're not focused on Christ, and it's men, teachers, preachers, pastors, men who would try to influence you to their way of thinking, their creeds, their dogma, and you must overcome that. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. They want to make you feel like you're little. They want to make you feel like they're the important one. You've got to be their servant. You are here to serve them. And that's so contrary to what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said this. He said, you that are greatest among, become the servant of all. So if you think yourself to be above somebody, be their servant. That's right. Because that'll put everything back in perspective. Again, in 1 John 5 and verse 4, we read from our text this morning, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What is the victory? It is our faith. Brother Nick, could you take him out, please? Now, we know that the new birth was not reserved for the last church age alone, but that in each church age, there were those who were ordained to eternal life, and therefore, when the word crossed their path, they believed what they heard. In Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. One thing they did, believe. From the Laodicean Church Age book, chapter 9, page 360, paragraph 3. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word, and by the word only. In each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, that's number one, the lust of the eye, number two, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word. He fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. And right now, let me say this, that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Also, it is the only way that you can know if you are overcoming, because the word can't fail. Therefore, we also find that in each church age, the promise of overcoming is given to the church, and with the overcoming, a reward is offered to those who do so in each age or each church age. In the Ephesian church age, Revelation 2 verse 7 was used. We find the reward of overcoming is that we are granted permission to eat from the tree of life. In Ephesians church age, the reward promised, page 97-2, Revelation 2 and 7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is a future reward to all overcomers of all ages. When the last call to battle has been sounded, when our armor has been laid down, then we will rest in the paradise of God, and our portion shall be the tree of life forever. Also from Ephesians Church Age conclusion, page 107, verse 5. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a thrilling thought is this, that the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which could not be approached unto because of the fall of Adam is now given to the overcomer. The flaming sword of the guarding cherubim has been sheathed. But it was not sheathed ere its blade was bloody with the blood of the Lamb. Let us meditate upon this truth a while as we consider why the tree was denied to Adam and his descendants, but now allowed again. Again, in the second church age, the Smyrnian church age, we find Revelation 2:11, we are promised, we shall not be heard of the second death. Now, these are all promises for overcoming. From the Smyrnian church age, the reward for overcoming, Revelation 2:11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. Now, once again, the Spirit is talking to all the ages. This message is of comfort to us today, even as it comforted our brethren of all other ages. And he says to us that the second death will not hurt us, but with the righteous it shall not be so. With the righteous it shall not be so. They don't have to fear. They have been redeemed by God. They are in his bosom. They are the overcomers. And who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Again, in the third church age, the Pergamene church age, according to Revelation 2:17, we are granted permission to eat from the hidden manna and are also given a white stone with our new name on it. Pergamene church age, the reward 208-4, Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the manna, of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Each message to each age holds out an incentive to the believer, encouraging him to be an overcomer, and therefore be rewarded by the Lord. In this last age, the Spirit is promising the hidden manna and a new name written in a white stone. In the fourth church age, the Thyatirian church age, Revelation 2, verse 26, will be given power over the nations to rule, and we shall also be given the morning star, which is Christ, who is the bright and morning star. Again, from the Thyatirian church age, rewards 2:40-1, Revelation 2:26-29, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh and keepeth my words to the end. It is very evident from the remarks of the Spirit on works that the Lord is trying to get his people to see his opinion of righteous works. Four times he mentions works, and now he says that he who keeps doing his works faithfully until the end will be given power over the nations and will be a strong, capable, unbending ruler who can cope so powerfully with any situation that even the most desperate enemy will be broken if need be. His demonstration of rule by power will be like unto the very sons. This is very amazing. But let us look at that promise in the light of the age. Power for Rome, with state backing, employing kings and armies and legislators, breaks and grinds all before it. She has killed millions and hungers to kill millions more who will not bow to her. She intolerantly sets up kings and brings them low whenever she can. Yet her interference has actually caused nations to fall because she has determined to destroy the elect of God. Her works are the works of the devil, for she murders and lies as he did. But there is coming a day where the Lord is going to say, bring these mine enemies before me and slay them. Then shall the righteous be with their Lord when his righteous indignation will fall upon the blasphemers. The righteous coming with him in glory shall destroy those who destroy the earth and have made havoc of the saints of God. This was the age of turning the cheek of terrible distress, but a day is coming when truth shall prevail, and who shall stand in the fire and be safe? Only the redeemed of the Lord. Again, we see in the fifth church age, the Sardisian church age, Revelation 3:5, we shall be given new raiment and a promise that our names will never be blotted out of the book of life, and Jesus will confess us to his Father before his angels. In the Sardisian church age, the promise to the overcomer, 2:64-3, Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his holy angels. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. This is actually a repetition of verse 4, wherein is made reference to the few who have not defiled their garments. We used to have a saying years ago that no doubt was taken from this verse. It was, keep your skirts clean. It meant don't get involved in questionable things. others will be involved and you might be tempted to get involved. Or someone might even try to involve you, but stay clear of it. Stay clear of it all by steering a course away from it. Now God is going to reward those who follow this advice. They are going to be clothed in white, even as he is clothed in white. Peter, James, and John saw him on Mount Transfiguration, and his clothes were as white as light. That is how the saints are going to be clothed. Their garment will be shining exceedingly white. And he that overcometh, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Once again, we come to the most difficult portion of the word. This verse, superficially regarded, will be used by both the Arminians and the Calvinists to suit their purposes. The Arminians will declare that this verse assuredly annuls John 6:37-44. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from the heaven not to do mine will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I shall lose nothing, but should raise him up again at the last day. And the Jews then murmuring at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. Arminians make the will of the Father not the sovereign purpose, but merely a complacent desire as he stands back to see what all men will do with his goods and gracious gifts and even eternal life. So Brother Branham is basically saying that there's people who sit back and say, well, you know, God's will changes. I mean, he just kind of looks back and he kind of hopes everybody lives a good life and this and that, and that's good. And he said, that's not it. It's overcoming. It's letting go of your will and receiving his will. From the Sardisian Church Age book, chapter 7, paragraph 275-1, Revelation 20, 11-15, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of all these things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, hey, so much for your trying to live like the people in the world. Have it your way. If you weren't in that book of life, you're doomed. There will be both the righteous and the unrighteous in this judgment. Well, how do you know you're righteous? He that doeth right. He that doeth that which is righteous. These righteous will not be the bride, for the bride sits with him in judgment. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the earth? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge in the smallest matters now? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and am set with my Father in his throne. See, the bride is with him in the throne. As she is to judge the world, she has to be sitting in the judgment with him. That is exactly what Daniel saw. Daniel 7:9-10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 before him. The judgment was set. The books were opened. See, it is the same scene, for 1,000 thousands did minister to him, or the bride, for who ministers to the husband but the wife? Now in the sixth church age, which was the Philadelphian church age in Revelation 3:12, the overcomer will be made a pillar in the church of our Lord and are given the promises that we will never have to go out, and Jesus himself will write upon us the name of God, and the name of the New Jerusalem shall also be given to us, and he will write upon us his own new name. Philippians chapter 8, 287-1. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3:11-12. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write unto him the name of my God and the name of the holy city, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. We don't need to comment on the thought that he is coming quickly. We know that he is because we are in the end of the days, aren't we? But he goes on to say, hold fast that which you have, that no man may take your crown. Now ponder that word, overcometh. John asks the question, who is he that overcometh? And the answer comes right back. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. He doesn't say that the overcomer is one who believes in a Jesus and in a Christ, but believes that Jesus is the Christ, one person, not two. He is the one who is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the church of the Laodiceans, the seventh and last church age, we're promised in Revelation 3:21 that we shall sit with him in his throne, even as he has overcome and has sat down with his Father in his throne. From the Laodicean church age book, The Overcomer's Throne, page 360, paragraph 1, Brother Branham says, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. In verse 15 to 18, which we have just studied, lies a true picture of the ripened false vine, false spirit, false church people. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. No words ever spelled out a more bitter denunciation, and no proud and arrogant religious people ever deserved it more. Yet in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. We find the true vine, the true spirit, the true church people, exalted to the very throne of God with the highest compliment ever paid to a humble, steadfast spiritual group. Death had entered. How do we know? Do we not hear the voice of the Spirit raising that first age for all who will hear? As he's calling to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life in paradise of God? The church had already imbibed too deeply of the tree of death, or the denominational false vine, who ends in the lake of fire. But there are no cherubims with flaming swords to guard the tree of life now. God does not now depart from the midst of the church as he departed from Eden. Oh no, he will ever be in the midst of the church until the first final age, and until that time he calls to all to come. And finally, in Revelation 21 and verse 7, the promise to the overcomer is that he shall inherit all things, and that God shall be our God and we shall be his son. In the book of Isaiah, we find that there will come a condition among the people that is so bad that they will not be able to tell that which is good and that which is evil, and thus they will call evil good and good evil. And that's the day we're living in. Isaiah 5:20-21 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And surely this is an abomination unto God. For what good are the works of his law if they were not meant to be kept? In Proverbs 17, verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. And what does the Lord do with an abominable person? He stones them. So you're going to be expecting hailstones, 100 talents or whatever that is, about 100 pounds, I guess. In closing, in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we see the command of God that we should not even be near these kind of people, but rather we are to withdraw ourselves from such. When John, according to Irenaeus, when John walked in with Polycarp and they walked into the bathhouse, and they saw a guy named Marcus there, and the man was a blasphemer. He was a Gnostic. He was the one who began this teaching on female Holy Ghost and this teaching on the fullness of the Godhead being in the bride, being the elect. And John walked into the bathhouse, saw him in there. John said, let's get out of here before the roof caves in, lest the Lord judges this man while we're in the same room with him. From Christ revealing his own word again, Brother Branham said, well, I spoke in tongues, Brother Branham. Well, don't you believe in speaking in tongues, Brother Branham? Absolutely. Well, I shouted, don't you believe that? Yes, sir. I live a good Christian life. Don't you believe in that? Yes, sir. But still, that don't mean you're saved. Christian life, don't you believe that? Yes, sir. But that still don't mean you're saved. You're a good person, clean, moral, holy, good person. So was those priests, religious to the core, so religious till one misconstrued, they'd be stoned to death. The death penalty of fooling with the Word of God was death. That's what's the matter with the country today. The reason we got so many loose leaves, things in the earth today, the penalties are not strong enough. If a man was caught running out with another man's wife, they should both be taken out in public and castrated right in public and turned loose. That's from Brother Branham. That's right. If a man's caught doing things wrong down the road, speeding, he oughtn't to be given less than 10 years. It's premeditated murder, kids. Premeditated murder. See, you put penalties like that on and you'll slow them down. But when some crooked politician can get this one over here and pass it off and say, well, he was drinking a little. He didn't mean to do that. And would kill a man, wife, and a whole bunch of innocent children and let the rookie get by with it. That's politics. That's the world. That's the devil. God said if a man was caught in adultery or a woman, take them out there and stone them to death. That settled it. See? If he was even caught picking up a weight of a stick on the Sabbath day, take him and stone him. They lived by that. And now see, we don't have them kind of laws today, but the Christian, the church, what I'm talking to you this morning, that law of God is in your heart. Well, is it? See, you have no desire to do that. It's inside you. Here. You want to keep God's law so perfect? No matter what it is, you just want to be that. If God needs a doormat at the door, He wants you to be that doormat. You're so happy to be that. No matter what it would be, you want to be that doormat. See, whatever God wants you to do, that's what you want to do because it's God. Now that's where you really find your real, genuine, true love for God. Does God want you to be just a young person who's willing to lay aside personal ambition to be right with God? That's what He wants. Are you willing to do it? If you're not, you're not born again because you don't have the same spirit, you don't have the same mind. So what is it then that we must overcome in this last hour? It is that organizational mindset that would use peer pressure and the cares of this world to bind the Word of God so the believer will not be free to be led by God's Spirit through His Word. And as a result, the Word will not produce what it was meant to produce. Read again the sower of the seed in Matthew 13. The seed is sown with the intention of reproducing the life that's in the original, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. It must bear fruit or it's only food for the burning. In closing, let me share a quote sent by Brother Gatchel this week. It's a very good quote, where Brother Brown makes it very plain in the message, He that's in you, he said, but he that is in you is Christ. And if Christ is in you, the works of Christ you will do. If Christ lives in you. He said so. St. John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. If you was in Christ, or Christ, if Christ lived in you, then Christ is the Word. Is that right? And the Word come to His prophets. See? And if you, Christ lived in you, the works of Christ would be done through you. The life of Christ would be lived through you. The works He did, the life He lived, and everything, it would live in you. Just like Shakespeare, Beethoven, or whoever it was that lived in you. If His life, if you're still living your own life, then your own works you will do. See? But if you're living the life of Christ, if Christ is living in you, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. If your doubts and frustrations about God's promises is in you, then Christ isn't there. See? You're only worked up. But if the life, if Christ is living in you, his word will recognize, his word he will recognize, and his promises he will do. See? He'll do. Therefore, it's not just the things of the world we must overcome, brother, sister, but the doctrine of the world, as well as men that have elevated themselves to take the place of the Holy Spirit leading you in the inner man. Now, I might sound like I'm a rebel, but I'm pretty well put out by the fact that men are not teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The men are teaching organization. Our group this, our doctrine this. And they're not helping the people. They're not doing what they can to lift the people up and to help the people overcome. They're stepping on people. Abusing the sheep. And this ought not to be named among those who believe William Branham was our God-sent prophet. All you have to do is look at his life, the way he lived. Brother Branham makes it very clear in the following quote from the Ephesian Church Age. He said, "Now Paul's wolves had become Nicolaitans. They were trying to form a priesthood like the Levitical priesthood, which was foreign to the New Testament doctrine." Amen. And the word Niko, the Greek word Niko, means to conquer or to overcome. To overcome what? To overcome the laity. The Holy Spirit. Take out of the church the resurrected Lord Jesus with his signs and wonders among the believers and put men in, voted in, to be a pope or a cardinal or a carnal, he says, or a cardinal or an overseer, trying to take the Holy Ghost away from the laity and give it to an order called the Holy Order of Men, placing them over the laity, not to call them pastor, which means shepherd, but father, which Jesus said, don't you call no man father on this earth? See what an evil thing that is? And that's what they did. So what is Brother Branham saying the overcoming is? It's overcoming the laity. That's what they're doing. When God has called the laity to overcome them and the things of the world. And I say to this and those who are watching this around the world right now, you don't have to put up with that nonsense. The Bible says there's only one man you're to fear, and that's the man who comes with "Thus saith the Lord." It says, fear him. You don't have to follow, you don't have to fear a pastor, and you don't have to fear a teacher. I don't care how indicated he might be. And Brother Vail will be the first one to tell you, if you're following me, you're lost. Get your eyes on Christ. From turning northward, Brother Branham said, and I think today that many times in our, not belittling our organization now, but we end it with a period. You see, we believe this and that's all. And if we will end it with a comma, if we believe this plus what God shows us, see, it'll be different, your organization. But when you end it with a period, there's nothing else to be added. And as a tree is growing on, I think that the church, really, any organization, church organization, thrives off of the life of Christ. I believe that. Because it's something that's been grafted or added in there. It takes the power out of laity and putting it upon a minister or putting upon a bishop or whatever it might be. Like in Revelation there, it said the deeds of the Nicolaitans, Niko, is to overcome the and laity. And I think in the meetings like this, it gives God a chance to work through His laity. See, the power of God working through the laity. What do you think John 14:12 is all about? It's getting your eyes off the ministry. Getting your eyes off the minister. Getting your eyes off the vindicated prophet and getting your eyes on Christ, who was His pattern. And that's why He was so much like Christ, because He stepped into that pattern Himself. But that's for you and I as well. Oh, not the discernment. That was a gift for a purpose. That was to fulfill His role as the prophet of the end time. But as sons and daughters of God, that same genuine Holy Ghost life and works and actions and speech should be living in you, abiding in you. Amen. And helping you to overcome all things and all peoples from the Messiah, Brother Branham said, he's going to do what? Call the children back to the faith of the fathers, the Pentecostal fathers, Paul, Silas, John, Mark, Irenaeus, St. Martin, Columba, all those great martyrs that preached the gospel and held to it, stayed directly with it and pushed out. When the great classical bunch begin to want an organization, you notice in the Bible there it said the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Then what was the deeds in one church age became a doctrine. And you know what Nico means? I looked it up. Nico means conquer and overcome. Overcome what? The laity. When all the holiness goes into some man, just some man alone, he's the only one that's holy. He's the only one that the church can live any way they want to and make confessions to him. Huh. The Holy Ghost is for what whosoever will. Laity and all. It isn't God's will for it to be just a holy man. It's the Holy Ghost among a people that's born again, showing signs and wonders, the same church. That evening star will reflect the same light that the morning star did. Too many people focus, oh, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. And I'm sorry, I love Brother Branham. And he was an example. But he was an example for you to live the same kind of life. Not to say, he's a holy man, he's a holy man, he's a holy man. Or now we got a teacher. And so we can't think for ourselves. We can't read for ourselves. We got to have somebody tell us what it means. Hogwash. Hogwash. To borrow his phrase. He'd be the first one to tell you, get your focus right. He's the first one to say, a child that's 5 years old that knows how to read ought to be able to know what this Bible says. Timothy, from a youth, knew the scripture, Paul said. Your children ought to know. And sometimes they do know better than the adults do. To he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Overcome what? Overcome the priesthood. The voted in priesthood. Because in every one of these cases, it's usually the elder who's voted in, because the true fivefold starts his own little work and the people come because of that work. I'm not up here to be ornery. Forgive me if it sounds that way. I'm up here to tell you one thing. Get your focus on Jesus Christ. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. What a great reward. You'll be judging the earth. You'll be judging these pastors and these elders. And you know what? You already are. The Bible tells us in the first church age, it said, you're a false apostle because you're not saying what Paul said. And you're doing the same. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We know it's stern. But we read that first quote from Brother Branham this morning, Father, and we realize that he was not talking wishy-washy. He was saying, no matter how sincere you might be, no matter how good you might live, that's not it. We must take every word and not hold back. And put a comma after everything we believe. And Lord, whatever else you would show us, let us not take a hold of the doctrine and say, we've got it, we've arrived, but may we recognize it. Out of the doctrine comes the relationship, and out of that relationship comes forth actions and motives and a life that's reflective of that relationship. And so, Father, we just commit it all back to Thee, and we ask that You'd help us to overcome. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed.